Well, good morning, everyone, and we come now to the final sermon from our series on the book of Nehemiah. And we've been comparing the situation in Nehemiah's time when the Israelites have returned from exile in Babylon and they've come to rebuild Jerusalem to the situation that we've faced recently as a church when we've been out of our church building, out of our usual way of church life because of the coronavirus pandemic. And now we are returning with a desire to rebuild. And how will we rebuild for the future? So we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 12 and verses 27 to 47 today, because in that reading we find the rededication of the walls of Jerusalem, which have been rebuilt by Nehemiah and his workers. And we see that it's quite an incredible rededication ceremony that goes on. So there's been a few chapters gap since our last reading from Nehemiah chapter 7. And what has happened during that period is that the people of Israel have gathered together, they've looked at the word of God together, they've realised that they've strayed, and they come in a corporate act of confession before the Lord. And it's focused on the history of the Old Testament and what God has done for them. It's not about what they've done as Israel, but what God has done by his grace for them. And so they're coming before him in confession. And as they remember what God has done for them, they remember that primary sin. We often think of our horizontal sins, things that we do wrong, things that we do that hurt other people. But first of all comes the vertical sin, which is to stray away from God. And not having that close relationship with God, not having that desire to be close to him, is the root cause of all the horizontal sins. And so we find that the people at this time make their relationship with God and they're coming back to him first and foremost as the centre of their confession. And we see this idea of the repentance of a nation in other places in the Old Testament. If we look at Psalm 78, or if we think about Stephen's speech in Acts 7, when he points out how although God has been working through his people, all the way from Genesis to into the New Testament, the people have rejected him. They've rejected his prophets, and at the time of Stephen, they had now rejected Jesus. And so there's this idea of the lamentation of a nation, as they do not receive the things that God has given to them, but they reject them. And this is something that they realise in Nehemiah 8 as they come for a corporate confession before the Lord, as they make their hearts right before him and prepare to live in the city. Then we find in Nehemiah 9 that there is a renewal of the covenant, and it's just one of those magnificent moments that we see in the Old Testament. Perhaps like the time of Josiah as well, when the people gathered around the book of the Lord's word found in the temple, and there was a Passover and there was a renewal of the covenant with God. And here we have in Nehemiah the renewal of the covenant between God and his people. A really important moment when the people are coming back to God as their king. So what we find after this incredible time of confession and renewal of covenant, however, is that there are some who will actually need to go and live in the city with Nehemiah, so that the city may not only be rebuilt physically, but that it would also be rebuilt socially from the inside as well. But actually, for the people of Nehemiah's time, the outside hill country was a far nicer place to live than in the city of Jerusalem, and so there is a sense of sacrifice in the people going to refill that city. But as we come to chapter 12, this is where the rededication of the walls takes place. And we find in the first part of this reading today that there is a cleansing ritual that takes place as they prepare to rededicate the city walls to the Lord. It's the purification rites from the Lord's word. We see that there are two choirs to be set aside. One will be led around one part of the wall, on top of the wall by Ezra, and another will be led to the other side of the wall by Nehemiah. And this is interesting, really, because it's just going in the face of what Tobiah the Ammonite says very early on in the book, which is that even a fox would knock the wall down if it tried to climb on it. And here we have two huge choirs led by Ezra and Nehemiah standing on the wall, walking around, a symbol of the strength of the wall, and therefore a symbol of the strength of the God who has made all of this possible. So it's a glorious moment for Nehemiah as the building of the wall has now reached its end. The two choirs then take their places in the house of God. And we see the temple activities there in verses 42 and 43 and the offerings and portions that are set aside as in the days of David and Solomon. So in the book, we've seen Nehemiah go from being a simple cupbearer to someone who has this vision from God, which is then backed up by the king that he's serving to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which had been knocked down and destroyed by fire. He's successful in getting to Jerusalem. He's successful in surveying the wall and working out what needs to be done. He's successful in bringing people alongside him to rebuild. He's successful in guarding the building work as it's happening. And he's successful in that in the end of everything being rebuilt and calling the people together, we come to this rededication ceremony. So after a time when it had been laid waste, this is a new start for the people and Nehemiah. And all of these things have only been successful because God has been with him, leading the way. There are three points I'd like to look at in this sermon today. The first one, prayer and repentance. The second one, recommitment. And the third one, refilling, the refilling of the city. Let's begin by looking at this concept of prayer and repentance. Being away from fellowship and from a church life during the pandemic in some ways can be parallel to the exile. During the exile, the people were able to focus on what they had beforehand and how they would treat it differently if and when they were to return. And sometimes I could be guilty, and perhaps others could be guilty too, of saying in church life, we can just wait. We'll do that some other time, some other year, we'll make that change slowly. And sometimes, you know, we may decide that it is right to wait for various things, but actually there are other times when we know that God is calling for us to do something and that we need to respond in that moment. It's very easy, if we're feeling comfortable in church, to get complacent and just allow things to go on and to go on and to go on, even when we know they could do with a bit of a shake-up, a bit of a change. During the lockdowns, I think I learned different things about what was important and what was essential about church life. One thing which proved to be incredibly important to everyone was the ability to interact on a personal level with other Christians. Now, when we know that we can do that any week we like, if you missed your chance this week, there's always next week. And then we can take those sorts of things for granted. But when the interactions become so rare, we start to realise how important they are and how we need to value the community that we have around us, because we all have a part to play in being church together. I suppose we can link some of these things in with the prayer and repentance that we see in the book of Nehemiah. We know that because of Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, no sin is too great to be forgiven. But there is still a place for coming to God in repentance. 1 John 1:9 reminds us to confess our sins to God because he's faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us of all unrighteousness. And I think it shows that returning to God is what we do first, and then we return to church life, so that as we walk through the door, we're ready for him to lead us. So point two then, recommitting ourselves to God. In Nehemiah chapter 10, you can read that there was a fresh commitment to serving God, to bringing a tithe and living in obedience to God. And as we enter a new season, how might God be calling us to recommit to him in our service, in our giving, in our daily lives? This is an opportunity that we have now, but particularly as we're on the verge of a new year. Because a new year is a psychological opportunity, isn't it, to think about a fresh start. And I've mentioned in recent weeks that we want to experiment with different ways of meeting on a Sunday morning. And this is an opportunity to recommit ourselves to the Lord, to read his word, to recommit individually in our hearts before the Lord, and to think about the way in which we are serving him, both inside the church and outside of the church in our daily lives. Let's remember that we have this opportunity now to recommit. I'm just going to read to you Nehemiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. It says this: "The leaders of the people were living in Jerusalem, the holy city. A tenth of the people from the other towns of Judah and Benjamin were chosen by sacred lots to live there too, while the rest stayed where they were, and the people commended everyone who volunteered to resettle in Jerusalem." So why were these people commended for resettling in Jerusalem? Well, as I mentioned earlier, the truth is that living in Jerusalem was not as nice at that time as living in the hill country. But if they didn't resettle in Jerusalem, then the city would not be able to grow and flourish and be restored. So the people who went to live in Jerusalem were commended. Church may not be all we want it to be, but if we don't go, if we don't resettle in church, then no one else is ever going to settle in church because there won't be anyone there to receive them. How might God want us to resettle in this church? How might God be asking us to bring in new people to our church community in the coming season? How can we continue to reach out beyond the walls of the church building in the coming months and years so that the church itself, just like Jerusalem, will flourish and be repopulated and will last into the years to come? How might we apply these things to our lives today? Point one, we talked about prayer and repentance. Let's go to God and return to him before we return to church life. And of course, that's something we kind of already should have done, but we can take this opportunity to have a quick catch up if we haven't. Point two, let's recommit ourselves to God with a desire to be a witness to him in our daily lives. And point three, let's commit to this fellowship that we might see it grow and flourish. It may not be all we want it to be, but actually if we dedicate ourselves to God in this place, I'm sure by his Spirit, he will bring others to himself through the ministry of this church. But it's going to involve a desire to follow God in new ways, to try new things. We might get sad, as the Israelites did, that things are not like they used to be in the old days. But God is writing a new chapter in the life of this church. And he's writing a new chapter in your own life of faith, as he's writing a new chapter in my life of faith. So let's see this link with Nehemiah as something to really help us for the future. The Israelites were away. They returned. They repented. They recommitted. And they rebuilt and regenerated. And they went into the future. And that, I believe, is what God is calling us to do now, to return to him, to return to this place, to recommit ourselves and recommit this place of worship into the Lord's hands, so that as we faithfully work and serve away here for God, he will bring other people from outside of the walls, just as we are called to go to the other side. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity we've had to look through the book of Nehemiah and to see how it really does align quite well with the situation that we've faced in being away from this place of worship that we come to on a Sunday morning, and how now as we regather we can recommit to you and begin a rebuilding process different from what has been built in the past, but Lord, entirely devoted and dedicated to you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in our faith and grow in our fellowship as we move forward for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.